This podcast of Seattle Unity Sunday Service is free to you, but it's not free to make. Please remember to hit the donate button so we can continue to bring you great podcasts like this one.
Good morning and welcome to Seattle Unity Sunday Service. We have our guest speaker this morning, Ann Holmes Redding, and guest artist Rafe Perlman. Thank you for being with us this morning as we venture forth into another experiment with online Sunday services. So I'm just going to do a little orientation. If you're able to go up into the upper right-hand corner and just check that you're in speaker view. So if you move your cursor up into the upper right-hand corner of your screen, you'll be able to see whether you're in gallery view or speaker view. And I'm going to invite you to change to speaker view right now. And you'll notice that you are able to chat. So some people have their chat box open and are saying good morning to everybody. And so we invite you, if you move your cursor to the very bottom, you'll see a right in the middle there, a little icon that says chat. And if you click on that and open it up, it allows you to say good morning to everybody and say hello. So let us first begin how we usually do with our opening statement together. So I will put that up so that we can all see it and share it together. There is but one presence and one power in my life and in the universe, God the good, omnipotence. And we are grateful for being here together this morning in this virtual space and look forward to a very rich evening, a very rich morning together. And so I'm going to thank you in advance for your patience as we do a little maneuvering. Rafe is now in Hawaii, and he is going to bless us with some music this morning. And he's recorded a couple of beautiful songs for us. So here's Rafe.
Hey, Seattle Unity. It's Rafe, and I'm out in the forest of Hawaii for you today. I thought with the theme of Anne's talk that I would add a little phrase of Ishkala Mabudli La to Beloved. Ishkala Mabudli La translates as God is love, lover, and beloved. I love you. I miss you. I'm with you, my heart of hearts.
Fire that you're burning there. Are you burning for the beloved? Would you send me a prayer? Pour with the fire that you're holding there. Are you holding for the beloved? Beloved, and come. Know that you are love, you gotta know it. Be loved, and come. And know that you are nothing but love, nothing but love, nothing but love. And I am in love with you, I am in love with you always. I am in love with you, I am in love with you always. I am in love with you, I am in love with you always. You shall always be in love, no matter how far. Ishkala mabulela, ishkala mabulela. Ishkala mabulela, ishkala mabulela. Ishkala mabulela, ishkala mabulela. Ishkala mabulela, ishkala mabulela. Beloved, be that you are love. You gotta know it. Be loving, be loved. Oh, come, know that you are nothing but love, nothing but love, nothing but love. I am in love with you, I am in love with you always. I am in love with you, I am in love with you always. I am in love with you, I am in love with you always. Mabulela, ishkala mabulela, ishkala mabulela, ishkala mabulela, ishkala mabulela, ishkala mabulela.
So I want to introduce you to our guest speaker this morning. We are very blessed to have with us Anne Holmes Redding. She goes where she is invited locally and nationally to share what she's been learning since the convergence of Islam with her Christian belief and practice in 2006. Anne is a teacher, speaker, writer, singer, and spiritual guide. She was an Episcopal priest for 25 years, and she currently teaches at the University of Puget Sound and leads Friday Islamic prayer at the Interfaith Community Sanctuary in Seattle. And also is a founder of the Abrahamic Union West, a nonprofit dedicated to healing the familial relationship among Jews, Christians, and Muslims. With Jamal Rahman and Kathleen Elias, she is co-author of Out of Darkness, Into Light, Spiritual Guidance in the Quran with Reflections from Jewish and Christian Sources. And so with that, we are most excited to hear from Anne, and I'm going to turn it over to her.
Assalamu alaikum, all. The peace of God be with you. Grace, peace, and blessings be with you all. Thank you, Diane, for the introduction, and my thanks also go out to Reverend Karen Lindvig for the invitation to be here with you. And I'm also really grateful for all of you who are present. Thank you for those who have made your presence known on the chat so far, and I know that you just are an indication of many more who are out there today, whose presence I can't see you, but I can feel your presence. I thank you for showing up to receive a stranger in your midst here. I ask you to entertain the possibility, however, that I may be a stranger in your midst, but that each one of us is here by an invitation that comes from beyond us, and that each one of us has been specifically gathered to be here in this moment by the one who goes by many names, and you'll hear me referring to the one most frequently using the name of Allah, but that one we know goes by many names, and that's the one who's gathered us. I want to ask you to take a moment, first of all, to bring into your mind and heart some one person whom you know is here online with us in this moment. One person who is near and dear to you. And you can build from there. Let's start with one. And then send out, reach out with your mind and your heart to that person or those persons who have come to your mind and heart. Your kindred spirits here at Seattle Unity. Even say their names out loud. Let's build the energy of connection in which we are gathered. Remind ourselves of the love in which we all live and move and have our being. Thank you. I'm here today to say a few words about Ramadan. The title of my talk is The House Guest. And that is a metaphor that I was introduced to early on in my time as a Muslim by the imam of the community that received me into Islam, even though I was still an Episcopal priest at the time. And I want to say a few words from my vantage point about this sacred season in the faith of Islam. I also want to talk about this season, this year, in our calendar, our common calendar, 2020, in the Islamic calendar, 1441. But this year's Ramadan is different from other Ramadans. It's coinciding this year with COVID-19. And it also happens to come into being this year in the middle of the Christian season of Easter. And it's coinciding, but it's no coincidence. In Islam, we think of Allah as speaking in sign languages, a sign language. And the ordering of events, who shows up where, at what time, at what moment, is all part of Allah's speaking, communicating to humanity about deeper and larger realities. I want to warn you right now that my views of anything Islamic are my views. And if my talk does nothing more than inspire you to go ask other Muslims about their experience of Ramadan, then I will think that I have done my job this morning. So ask other Muslims about Ramadan. It is a blessing to most Muslims to be asked, how is it going for you? And what does this season mean to you? I cannot do justice to the riches of this season in this one talk by any means. I came into Islam in 2006. And I came in knowing very little about the practices of Islam. I came into Islam on the heels of an experience where I knew I needed to change my life radically in terms of my relationship, my posture toward the Holy One, toward the Divine. I had run into a situation that required me to surrender in a way that I had not had to surrender before. I knew that the word Muslim means one who has surrendered to God. And I knew how to say the words that would lead me into Islam, take my Shahada, because of classes that I had organized at St. Mark's Cathedral, where I was working as a priest. And I felt an invitation that I could not understand as anything but coming from the One, the Holy One, from Allah. I heard an invitation to surrender by becoming a Muslim. And so I did. But I hadn't done a lot of serious study of Islam before I came into the faith. And so when my imam started talking about the visit of a house guest, I didn't even know that he was talking about Ramadan. I thought he was talking about some person coming to visit the community. So it took me some time to catch on that he was actually talking about Ramadan as embodied. And it took me several years more of practicing Ramadan to understand just what kind of a house guest Ramadan is. To share that, I need to share a story from my childhood. My mother used to tell this story about a visit of a house guest. I grew up with my parents and my two younger sisters in an old farmhouse in southeastern Pennsylvania, about 20 miles from Philadelphia and 15 miles from Wilmington, Delaware. And we were remote, in a remote enough location that our closest neighbors could not see our house from theirs. And on this particular day, this particular time, my sisters and I were all under the age of 5 at home with my mother, and all of us children had ear infections. And we'd had them for long enough for my mother to be at her wit's end. She was so distraught, she could not calm us down enough even to be able to get us into the car so that she could drive to town to the doctor and to get medicine. It was nonstop crying. She wasn't getting any sleep. We weren't getting any sleep. There was no peace. Misery and mayhem were the order of the day. All of a sudden, there was a knock on the door. Now, rarely was there a knock on the door at our house. And when my mother went to the door, to her shock and dismay, standing outside was a relative from my father's side of the family, Cousin Catherine. Now, Cousin Catherine was a very dignified woman. She was an educator. She'd been a dean at a college. And she lived in Boston, Massachusetts. And to my knowledge, she hadn't visited us before, but there she was at the door. At this point, I have no idea what prompted her, and I'll never know what prompted her to come to our house at that time. What I do know is that she rolled up her sleeves, she sat my mother down with a cup of tea, she took charge of us children, tended to our needs, and probably, my mother would say, in later years, she probably saved all of our lives. Like Cousin Catherine, Ramadan comes as a mercy. Like Cousin Catherine, Ramadan comes of its own initiative. Ramadan doesn't wait for an invitation. Like Cousin Catherine with my mother, Cousin Catherine gave my mother the opportunity to sit down, to rest, to gather her wits about her, and to remember that she actually loved us. I don't know what was in Cousin Catherine's suitcase when she came, but I do know the kinds of gifts that Ramadan brings. Ramadan brings the fasting and feasting and reflection that help us remember who and whose we really are. Remember the source of all love and nurture and wholeness. And that's the kind of house guest Ramadan is. Ramadan is a mercy and has been a mercy. It commemorates on a historical level, it commemorates the event that happened 1400 years ago when a man who was to become known as the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, when Muhammad received the first of a series of messages which came to him over the next 20 plus years. And those messages ultimately formed what we know of as the Quran. The coming of the Quran to Muhammad and through him to his people, the Arabs, was seen as an extension of a message that had already been given to many peoples around the world, particularly to Jews and Christians. And in Islamic teachings, there were no people who went without having revelations from God, prophetic revelations from God. Ramadan celebrates the coming of the message from God in Arabic to that particular people. And it celebrates the beginning of the tradition of Islam as a religion. But Ramadan, on a deeper level, is not simply about what happened in the past. Muhammad is understood, in fact, to be the last prophet, and the Quran as the last installment of revelation to humanity in that particular form. It's as if Muhammad hangs up the jersey of the job of prophet with a capital P. And in my understanding, with that hanging up of the jersey, with Muhammad being the seal of the prophets, the Quran being the last installment of prophecy and revelation in that form, that event ushers in this new age, the age in which we are living, an age in which all humanity may grow into the role of prophet, may grow into being and living as embodied messages of divine love. The mercy of Ramadan is the way that it points to the reality that all humanity, each human being, is created and fashioned precisely to be capable of saying yes to the invitation to intimate relationship with the cherisher and sustainer of all. We humans have been chosen. We've been chosen by God. And we are creatures who get to choose God of our own free will in return. We get to surrender to that choosing by God. One of the sayings, the divine sayings that came to Muhammad but did not end up in the Quran, a hadith, goes like this. I was a secret treasure and I longed to be known. And so I created the heavens and the earth. All that we know and love in creation was created for a single purpose. And that was to fulfill the desire of Allah to be known. Within that creation, human beings are the ones who get to choose to love God back. The rest of creation in Islamic understanding is already Muslim. We humans are born Muslim, but then we forget. We forget that we are surrendered. Whatever circumstance we get born into acts as a way of blocking and getting in the way of our understanding where we came from and the one to whom we are returning. And so we humans are the ones who need revelation. We need that guidance. And in Islam, the Quran is seen as a kind of ultimate love school guidebook for us in that relationship. The practices of Ramadan, the practices of fasting and feasting and reflection help us build on that capacity to receive this invitation and to respond to this invitation of love from Allah. Now, of course, the practice of Ramadan that gets the most play, most attention is fasting. And it's physically the most obvious practice in Islam. And the teaching is that we are to abstain from food and drink and sex from dawn until sunset every day. Physical fasting is a reminder inside of us all the time of our dependence on Allah for everything that we have. That real hunger underneath the physical hunger shows up to remind us that the sustenance, that for sustenance, we need to turn first to the relationship with the One. For me, fasting in Ramadan has shifted over the years. And in recent years, every time I would have a pang of hunger, I would be reminded that what I'm really, really hungry for, what I really yearn for, is that connection with Allah. And so Allah comes in that, into that space that's provided by my physical hunger. This year, I'm reminded that I have an opportunity in Ramadan to confront any patterns in my life, any patterns in my relationships that I would describe as addictive, be it relationships with substances, with ideas, with emotions, with behaviors, and of course, relationships with people. Any patterns that I have that get in the way of my seeing that anything I love and desire, any love and desire, is rooted in my love and desire for Allah. That everything I see around me is a sign of Allah. And the way I relate to everything around me is part of my responding to Allah's love. If I'm putting anything in place of Allah, something that I can't tear myself away from, then I get to hold that up to the light of Allah's love in Ramadan and consider changing my relationship with that substance, behavior, idea, emotion, person. The feasting in Ramadan, which also happens on a daily basis, is part of the way in which we build this capacity for this intimate relationship with Allah. During Ramadan, most years, I eat more during Ramadan than I do in any other time of the year because of the practice of the fast-breaking meals, iftars, that happen every night during Ramadan at sunset, after sunset. We feast during Ramadan on the fellowship of other Muslims and anyone who comes to iftars. We feast on the circle of love of those who have been gathered in the name of Allah. That reminds us of the richness and the bounty that comes from having a foundation of life that is in the oneness that pulls all of us together. And as Muslims come together, we are aware that we are a microcosm and that we do our feasting just as we do our fasting as representatives of all of humanity. And that our connection is not just with those people who are in the room, sweet as that is, but that our connection really goes to all of humanity. In the Quran, there are passages that say that we are all one ummah, we are all one community. We're made different into different groups and languages, that we may understand that we should come to know one another. All of our diversity is about coming to know one another, just as we are created by Allah so that Allah may be known. So coming to know one another is also a way of coming to know Allah. The final practice that I want to mention about Ramadan is that practice of reflection and prayer. We get to and are encouraged to read the entire Quran over this month of Ramadan, and a portion every night. And the Quran actually is divided into 30 portions to make that easy. And in that Quranic reading, I've come over the years to see every year I find verses that I think have been put into the Quran since the last time I read it. I've never seen them before because they're so fresh and speak to my heart so directly. I've begun to take the verses that jump out at me, that splash in my chest, as my friend Jamal Rahman would say. I take those with me into the rest of my year. Last year, it was verses that spoke to people's hearts and skins shuddering and becoming pliant with the remembrance of Allah. That verse I think of whenever I'm feeling embattled or somehow challenged by the situations around me. I remember Allah and let my heart and my skin become pliant, flexible, ready to be open to the remembrance of Allah and therefore to the remembrance of my connection with everything around me, with Allah. I want to close this talk by saying just a few words about Ramadan this year in the midst of COVID-19. We're fasting already this year by being separated from one another. Muslims can't celebrate Ramadan in the way that we're used to celebrating Ramadan. And so we get to turn the fasting of quarantine into Ramadan fasting. We get to, as it says in the book of Joel and in the Torah and in the Hebrew scriptures, we get to sanctify this fast that we're in. We get to sanctify it by realizing, letting it be a reminder to us of the abundance in our lives, the abundance that we normally take for granted. We also get to sanctify this fast by recognizing the systems of injustice and inequality that allow us to ignore those who are constantly going hungry for food, for opportunity, for peace, for housing, for freedom from oppressions of all kinds. That Ramadan coincides with Easter this year lets us see something else about our practice of Ramadan. Like the natural pattern woven in of rebirth from death that's woven into the fabric of creation, Easter reminds us that we humans are built to be conscious participants in that rhythm of death and rebirth, in our inner work of transformation and liberation and healing from anything inside of us that deals death. Our transformation of that death into new life. This year, we can mindfully engage in the practices of Ramadan in light of Easter with an eye towards transformation of the world. There's so many things that need to die in this world: practices, imbalances, oppressions. We can let the love school of Ramadan work inside of us to help us create a new vision for the world that we want to see. I will close by inviting you all to join us in whatever way feels good to you, to join us Muslims in this holy season. Sanctify our enforced separation into a holy fast, reminding us of how connected we really are now that we can feel it because we're forced to be apart. Letting it motivate us to repair the breaches, to mend the social fabric. Let's start inside of ourselves by doing whatever, by attending to whatever needs mending within us. Let's start inside of ourselves by saying love to the love that's already in us, that's speaking to us from inside of ourselves. And when we say yes to that love, the love that is us, the love that made us, then we can take that love, that power into the world for the transformation of all. Thank you.
I'd like to invite you to take a deep forest breath with me. O birther, father, mother of the cosmos, you create all that moves in life. Focus that light within us as the rays of a beacon show the way. Create your reign of unity now through our fiery hearts and oh so willing hands. Your one desire then acts with ours, as in all light, so in all forms.
Thank you, Rafe, and thank you, Anne, for being with us this morning. We are so grateful for this time and this opportunity to share together. And so, as we usually do, we come now to that time of sharing of our gifts and our love offerings. Just a reminder, you can give online through our website. You can also text to give. The number's up on the screen here, 206-350-8448. Once you enter that number, then type in the word give, and it'll allow you to go from there. And we are grateful for your continued financial support. We continue to have expenses, and so we are grateful for all the ways that our community continues to give. I also want to make a call out to Mother's Day pictures. So I know it may not seem possible, but May is almost here, which means that Mother's Day is almost here. The next couple of Sundays, we are going to do pre-recorded Sundays, including Mother's Day. And so we're going to have our slideshow like we normally have with our Mother's Day pictures. And so I'm going to invite you to email Erin those Mother's Day pictures, a picture of your mom, your grandma, you and your mom, any of those forms to erinm@seattleunity.org. And if you want her to just use your picture from last year, just email her and let her know. And that needs to happen by next Wednesday, as in this upcoming Wednesday. So we invite you to all send in your pictures so we can have a rich slideshow as part of our Mother's Day service. And so we just take a moment to bless the offering and the gifts and all the ways that they give. We are so grateful for the generosity of this community. We are grateful for all the forms of generosity, the opening of hearts and minds, and giving forth in so many different ways. And we know that we are connected and we are one, no matter the physical distance or the ways in which we are now meeting together. And for this, we are grateful. And so let us close as we normally do with our prayer for protection. And so I invite you to affirm this and pray this with me, wherever you may be. The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. Many blessings to you. May you enjoy a beautiful remainder of your Sunday and a beautiful week ahead. Take care.
If you enjoyed the Seattle Unity Sunday service, please hit the donate button so we can bring you even more uplifting music and messages. Or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. You can find directions and information about all our programs, classes, services, and events at www.seattleunity.org. Or find us on Facebook, where we post all our readings, links to more podcasts, and sermon videos. Seattle Unity, celebrating, inspiring, and deepening our individual and collective spiritual journeys. Shine.